Okay, we'll call the meeting to order. If everybody's ready. Disclosure, pecuniary interests in general nature thereof. You can speak to it now or when the item arrives. I get a mover and seconder to approve the agenda. Councilor Dreher, Deputy Mayor Minnelli, any comments or questions about the agenda? All in favor? It's carried. So we'll move on to our second full day of draft, our second day of draft 2021 budget presentations. Treasurer Whitmarsh, you can go ahead.
Good morning. I won't spend a lot of time this morning. I wanted to review sort of where we left off on Tuesday. So there were a few items that were amended or removed from the budget. So I'll just go through those very quickly. So in transportation, we removed the one-ton truck for $35,000. We also removed the garage for the loader in the waste management budget, and that was $60,000, but it was funded from reserves, so the net impact to the 2021 draft is zero. We also removed the windows for Station 2 in the fire budget. That was $4,075, but again, from reserves, so the impact was zero. Block wall for Station 2 in the fire budget also removed, $5,145, again from reserves, so the impact is zero. The tow vehicle for the fire department was removed based on the fire chief's discussion indicating that it was the other brush truck that was the more important, their priority vehicle, so that was $90,000. But because we were removing that vehicle, he indicated that there would be maintenance required on the old vehicle, so that was an add of $2,000 within the fire department's operating budget. He also indicated that the training center groundwork was not a priority as well, so that was removed for $10,000. So the total adjustments to date on the 2021 budget are as a reduction of $133,000, making the revised shortfall $3,523,645. That was really all I wanted to discuss with you this morning, first thing. At the end of the day, we'll sort of do a wrap-up, and I'll be suggesting ways to move forward. Finalizing the budget, or I shouldn't say finalizing, but when we come to meet again at the meeting in November. And just one slight change to the agenda today. So it's not Dan Prest presenting the building budget. It is Mike Cook.
Councilor Ferguson.
Yes, thank you. In addition to what you advised, Rhonda, did we not also split the medical equipment?
He made that suggestion, but council had asked him to come back with his list of priorities in the next, like, to me at least, or in the next version. So I can discuss that with him, and that's a possibility. I do have that written down for sure.
Good. Thank you.
Deputy Mayor Minnelli.
I've been doing a little bit in snooping around, and the second set of bunker gear, I think it should go, and I think the other bush truck should go too, the 200,000 one. We're not going to cut anything if we're 100,000 every meeting. That's 33 meetings.
No, but I think at the end of the day today, the recommendation, or what I would ask of council, is to let staff go back and make those suggested changes, and I don't disagree with you there that, you know, there are some big items that need to come out.
That's one of my suggestions then, so.
Okay, Councilor Gerard.
Thank you. Yes, I actually was going to bring up the exact same point. Thank you, Deputy Mayor Minnelli. In my world, sometimes picking something or having something that's maybe not exactly what we need is kind of a waste of money. It's like a hide-a-bed. It's not a good couch. It's not a good bed. I believe if we're dealing with a vehicle that's $220,000 and he suggested that a true fire truck would cost us $300,000, why are we spending something for a piece of equipment that we already have something right now and that we maybe put some money aside to buy one in the future. I'm not 100% happy with the fact that it doesn't seem to be able to be found anywhere in Canada, and I think maybe we should have some more research done before we just throw money into the air. So that's my opinion.
Thank you. Any more questions before we move ahead or comments? Okay. Do you have any more?
No, I think we can move along with the staff presentations at this point.
All right.
Then at the end of the day, we'll come together. I'll be doing some presentations on the administration side later on. Okay. And then we'll have a wrap up and further discussion near the end of the day.
Okay, thank you. So we have CAO Kelly and Mr. Cook.
Give you a break. So we'll start off with the planning portion, and we'll go through operating and capital, and then we'll switch over to building, do the same thing, but we also have a discussion on the building fees and things like that. I think there's some questions.
Deputy Mayor Minnelli.
I see it says Ken Kelly and Dan Priest. Where's Dan today?
Dan has a, I guess, a, he has a sickness that that he's attending to. So he's off today due to that.
Just today?
There's been a couple of days, yes. But, I mean, this is more of a personal matter as opposed to something I think that we discuss in a public meeting during budget. If
Thank
you'd
you.
Like, we can go in camera if you'd like to have a discussion about it some more, but I think that this is more of a personal matter that we don't need to discuss in public.
Thank you. I just wanted to know where he was. He hasn't been around for about 3 months, so.
Okay, we won't talk about that in public.
So if we could proceed with the planning budget.
The planning operating budget can be found on page 119.
So as you can see going down through this budget, there's an overall 16% reduction in the planning budget. Mostly what we're looking at here is a slight 2% increase in salaries, which is, you'll see that number throughout the rest of the budget for 2021. You'll see a slight increase in postseason courier. You know, we're talking $50, 6%, but $50 is not a huge amount to debate over. We do have computer services and expense. And just so as you know, I mean, there's a computer services expense component in each department's budget. So we don't aggregate or pull all of the computer related funding and expenditures together into one line item, say on a corporate basis. We actually allocate it or have it as a line item within each department. So you'll see this recurring in each departmental budget. For planning, this will be the result of licensing for things like CGIS, which is their GIS software, and things like computer replacement and whatnot. So we are looking to increase that slightly because we do have machines that are generally, we'll say timing out or in need of upgrade. And that's where that increase of $2,000 comes from in that budget. Traveling expenses, we are being obviously due to limitations in traveling and things like that, we are, and conferences and memberships and whatnot, we are able to manage those budgets a little tighter. We've made no increases into those for 2021. And you'll notice also that in capital expenditures, there's a reduction in 2021 of $70,000 versus 2020, which had a $95,000 capital item in there. So that's a fairly simple budget. We will be bringing forward some additional changes or suggestions, but right now in looking at the planning for 2021, this is what the planning budget looks like, but as part of a service delivery review and the recommendations that you received earlier in the week, or last week, I should say, and then the work that the staff is doing to provide you with a response to the service delivery report. We are going to be making some suggestions. They will impact in the planning department. I will highlight that in the service delivery review, I think there was a suggestion of a senior planner being hired in there. That's not factored into this budget. Okay, service delivery impacts are not factored in. Do we want to jump back to capital? We'll explain that $95,000 item.
Councillor Ferguson.
Just one question under computer expenses. Yep. Are they consulting service expenses or are they equipment expenses? Are they both?
Some of the computer service expense is for licensing, so we have to pay annual licensing costs. Okay. Sometimes it's support. So as the CAO mentioned, in this case, it's for the GIS system. And it's for also hardware and replacement and sometimes the purchase of additional software. I don't think that's the case for planning department. I think it's the licensing and the replacement of computers.
Okay, good, thank you. Because I'm just thinking ahead and moving on as far as an IT requirement, that's all. Yep, thank you.
Councillor Gerard.
Yes, thank you. With regards to the association and conventions, I'm not exactly sure, but it looks like it's been relatively under $2,000 and now it's $4,000. Are we not going to see less conventions and traveling going or taking place?
You will see less travel. I mean, this department didn't do a lot of, we'll say, external travel, like attending of conferences. We still will attend conferences. Staff will still be doing their professional development, but it'll be more virtual. So you will see slight changes in some of the expenditures with regards to things like, you know, maybe not hotel rooms and things like that, but the planning department didn't spend a lot in attending outside conferences to the same degree that others may. So like, for instance, we'll see in the building department, up until this year, there were more out of town training opportunities that were taken, that were I guess were completed. So 4,000 is basically where we envision staff would be. Now, for the most part, going into 2021, depending on what the decisions are and hiring and things like that, we will have only one planner. So we would envision, if the one planner is on for the majority of the year, that the actual expenditure of 4,000 will not be attained. But if we do staff up as per some of the proposals that are coming forward, you would expect that it would be around that number.
Treasurer Whitmarsh, you had your hand up.
He did just say what I was going to mention about the possible reduction because of the one planner position. It is one of the items. If you were looking at my binder here, you'd note that I have a lot of highlighted sections, and so this is actually one line that I have highlighted for review. The capital budget can be found on page 21, starting at line 126.
So again, fairly simple component here for the capital budget for planning and development. You'll notice in the rows there, 126, 127, 128, what we're looking at, CFWD, carry forward. So these projects were carried forward from 2020. You'll note there OPA 22, council approved it in 2020. That's actually kicked off and started. So we expect delivery of that final report and the outcomes in the early part of 2021. So even though it's started in 2020, it will be carried forward into 2021. So this is more of a, it's a commitment and a spend that's already happening, but this is where it's captured. The reserve street parking plan, you'll recall that when we had our discussions about planning projects, you prioritized that as number three. So that work has not been started. We do have proposal in hand off of our standing offer for the land evaluation area review study, the LEER plan as we refer to it. That work has not kicked off, but we are ready to go with our consultant team once I think we see a little more progress on OPA 22, which is what I understood that we were to get the consulting team focusing on as fast as possible and delivering that project as priority one for the planning department.
Deputy Mayor Minnelli.
Last night we went over just the preliminary budget at the county, and there was some money in for parking. So we're just going to do the plan, and the county's going to look after some of the parking or the paving or the...
Well, I mean, what the county has actually asked us to do is to provide them with a concept plan. So what this Reserve Street parking plan is to do is to provide a concept plan for that site, because that land, I guess we should provide some more information. The Reserve Street land that we're talking about is actually county land. Okay, so this is adjacent to the library. This land is county land, so we can't develop it simply on our own authority. So what they've asked, similar to Carlton Place and others, is that we come forward with a concept plan for them. If they approve the concept plan, they'll allow development of. So what this funding here to do is to look at the parking, but also the feasibility and use of that site. So once we have that work done, we'll bring forward a plan to county. So if they've earmarked funds, that's good. But we haven't actually given them the concept or what that ask is of what that development would look like. But it's good to hear that they're thinking about us.
Thank you. I noticed it was in the budget, so I think it's something that we should work on if we want to get it done this year.
Councilor Ferguson.
Yes, thank you. Was the funding for that also included in the downtown revitalization, or was that removed from it at that time?
No, this is a separate project. This is a $35,000 project that we've earmarked here, and it's noted to be funded from reserves. So this is not the not the downtown revitalization.
Okay.
Councilor Holmes.
Thank you. Yeah, I believe that fell out of the parking study that was done by planning 2 years ago, when there was a lot of concern about not enough parking downtown.
Yes, you'll note this was not included in the parking study, as I recall. Simply because this is a very large piece of land. If you actually included the parking availability or parking spaces on this piece of land, you would not reflect, I think, some of the concerns of the business community within the whole downtown area. This is a large piece of land if you were to look at it as just a parking lot. So it would pretty much, I guess, conclude from a parking study based on the size of this land that there's ample parking within downtown core, which I think is not the perception of a large number of people who visit the downtown core or the business community, even though the conclusions of that study were that there's parking availability and turnover in the downtown. But if you included this piece of land, it would almost prejudge the outcome of the report, so it was removed. So what we're doing here, like I said, is looking at a concept plan for development. So it's not necessarily just going to be a parking lot. It's going to have other potential aspects. A lot of things have been thrown out over the years, I think, on how this land can be used, including farmers market, a multi-use building. There's a number of different things that people have thrown out, and we need to put our minds to what this can look like.
Any more questions or comments? Councilor Dredd?
I'm just wondering if possibly the CAO's mic's not working because the light's not on.
I do turn it off when I'm done. But, yeah.
Okay, anything else? Questions, comments? All right, thank you.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity this morning.
The building budget can be found on page 123. Yeah.
So I just wanted to preface our discussion on the 2021 budget by just bringing up just where we're at in 2020 currently. We will have some statistics being brought forward to council as information at a future council date, but just in regards to where we're at today, number of permits issued, value of total work, and fees collected, number of new dwelling units, we're fairly on par with the trends we've been seeing over the past 3 years. So you'll kind of see that reflected in our budget this year, that things are more status quo. So going down the budget items, generally most items are your standard 2% indexed amount. You'll see for professional fees, there's a reduction there by 84%. That amount of $21,000 was slated for the fees study, which is currently being looked at by our chief building official. There's potential that that expenditure might have to carry forward. So that was a discussion we had with the treasurer this morning. But in any case, that $21,000 reduction in the professional fees was related to the building fees study. Computer services, an increase of 38%, so from 12,000 up to 16,000. That number is more to reflect actual costs that have been seen in previous years, so 2019 being in the $14,000 range. Our actual of 2020 is in the range of 13,000 by end of third quarter, so this number is more so to reflect actual costs. Computer replacement, I believe we've sort of tackled replacing most of our department's computer needs, increasing our ability to do our work out in the field. Some of those costs are also fees associated with our software provider, CGIS, for providing building department and building permitting software. Some of those costs are related to some customization that we request from CGIS in terms of customized forms that allow us to increase our workflow better. So in general, just going down all these items, most of these are, again, a 2% increase.
Any questions? Okay, we can move on.
Capital can be found on page 19, line 35.
So yes, as you can see, the only capital expenditure is replacement of a building department vehicle. The last vehicle purchase was done in 2018. I'm not sure. We have two vehicles, obviously. The previous vehicle, I'm not sure where that one is at. There was a note, I believe, that this is for paying off a current repave vehicle purchases. Okay, so this is to carry forward to replace one of our current vehicles. Okay.
Questions? Councillor Gerard?
Yes, thanks, Mike. I'm just wondering, last budget we had a discussion about the fact that there was a vehicle sitting in the yard, a van, that belonged to the planning department that had actually not been used for a couple of years due to brakes. Has anything happened with that vehicle?
I believe that's referring to the Chevy Blazer. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it in the yard as of late, but it has been, if it's still sitting out there, it hasn't been used since beginning of 2018, at least. I know it needs some work to safety it. I'm not aware of what the total costs are for that, or what that would entail.
Okay, could we look into that and see if it could be,
yeah,
possibly,
absolutely. Yeah,
used as a trade-in or something?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Any more questions, Councillor Ferguson?
Thank you. The vehicle, is that another half ton that's projected, or is that a vehicle? Because we're quite a run on half tons in this budget, so I just wondered if that was another half ton. Don't know.
I'm not sure what Dan had carried forward or what his intention was. Right now we have an SUV four-seater, right, and then the half-ton truck, just the two-seater.
Yeah.
It is good to have a variation, but it's not entirely necessary for us to have a pickup truck. So, I mean, something with four-wheel drive, because we do go out into some areas in the middle of the winter, and someone up in Pakenham all by themselves, if they get stuck, you know, obviously we can get help there, but it doesn't necessarily need to be a half-ton truck, but we can speak with Dan on what his intentions or thoughts are, and part of that discussion can factor into you know, Councillor Girard's point on the previous vehicle that's potentially still sitting out there. So.
Okay, thank you. Because it's the same costing we put against all the other half tons. I think $35,000. It appears that it's all within that same. Yeah, good. Thank you,
Councillor Holmes.
Thank you. I know that some of the other municipalities are starting to now look at electric vehicles, and I believe there's a subsidy that would help purchase. I think. I'm just wondering if the building department's going to need a new vehicle, would this be a good opportunity to just explore that avenue and to assess what electric vehicle can do in our community? Just a thought.
Deputy Mayor Minnelli.
Then there is money available through the county for electric vehicle for each municipality.
Would it be possible to get like a mini report on the age, the condition of this vehicle,
and absolutely, yeah. We'll work on that.
Any issues you've had in the last year or whatever? Thank you. So any more questions for Mr. Cook? Okay, thank you very much.
Before we move on, while we have Mike here, could we discuss if there's any questions about the building fees? Because he won't be here later on in the day when we are talking about them. Talking about the fee bylaw, sorry. I need to finish my sentence.
Do you have any questions on that? Those items? Go on. Councillor Ferguson.
Thank you. I guess it's the same question. I don't know whether Rhonda is doing the research specific to it or not, but I asked it again the other day in reference to cost recovery. How do we address cost recovery? How do we compile it? Do we use a salary of the highest salary in conjunction with hours, or do we use a medium salary? Or who? How do we come up with cost recovery fee?
So,
so for the building department, it's kind of a complex calculation. And years ago, when a certain piece of legislation came in that said building permit revenues could only be used for the department, we did a deep dive at that time into how fees are calculated. And it encompasses a lot of things. So it's not just the direct salaries of the staff working in the department. It's all indirect costs related to the functioning of the department. So in this particular case, because they occupy space in this building, it includes things like cleaning, the long-term debt charges on the building, heat, hydro, insurance. It also includes an indirect allocation or a support allocation, if you will, from any other staff person that assists. So my assistants, the CAO, counselors even. It includes a share of their time. It includes a share of all of the accounting clerk's time because we process payroll, payables, their deposits. So there's a lot that goes into the fee calculation for the building and planning department to, sorry, the building department to ensure that we are actually recovering all of the costs of permit issuance and operation of the department.
Good, thank you. I think it's, you're right, it's complicated. And I guess the second question specific to that, are we competitive?
Could I jump in on that?
With our neighbors in reference to the fees?
So with regards to the fees that are brought forward, and your question, it does depend on which fees you look at and who you actually want us to compare to. But for the most part, we do comparisons across municipalities to understand where we are. So for instance, and Mike could probably speak to this as well if you want to talk about comparisons, but our residential fees are our residential permit fees are a much larger component of our revenue than you may have in a community like the City of Ottawa. So they would potentially look at their fee structure and derive more revenue from a commercial and institutional component of their revenue. As you know very well, we have very little commercial and institutional revenue as on a percentage basis. I won't say on a dollar value basis compared to the City of Ottawa. So when you say, are we competitive? It kind of depends on which way you look and which particular fee you're asking about. On a residential basis, we are higher on a fee basis than comparable fees in the City of Ottawa. But they have a different structure, right? They're actually using funding from commercial institutional permitting fee as a funding source. We don't have that much, as you know. As Mr. Howard Allen points out when he does our presentation of financial statements on a regular basis. So, like I said, it depends on which way you want us to look, and that answer will change. Okay. So if you ask us to look at Carleton Place, we're on par with Carleton Place. The City of Ottawa, slightly different. No, that's not a true comparison. I will say, though, when Mr. Cook talked about other professional fees and the reduction of $21,000, and that money was basically to go towards an RFP to bring in a consultant to do a fee analysis. So that work was planned for 2020. That work has not been done. It has not been completed internally, and it was not put out to RFP. So a consultant was not brought in to do that. So that's why you see the reduction in 2021, because the money was planned to be spent in 2020, but the work is not done. And that's a key part that needs to be done for our fee schedule. That was a planned piece of work. It's just not complete. I would note, though, when we're looking at the probably the top line on page 123, the revenue line, we didn't really talk about the revenue that's coming in from building fees. And when you look at the cost comparison or what the expenditures are there. So for instance, in 2019, if we're looking at the revenue was almost $635,000. There was $180,000 transfer to reserves, okay, for that 1 year. In 2018, there was $193,000 transfer to reserves, and in 2017, there was a $200,000 transfer to reserves. Okay, so the fees that we are bringing in are covering the expenditures. So this department, the building department, is not on the tax base of the community. It is completely self-sustaining through its revenue, plus it's contributing to its reserves. Now, we want those contributions to reserves in case there are years where our building permit fees start to dip down. And we want those funds there as basically backstop to keep the department running. But just so you know, that's there is a fee study that should have been done, and that this department does cover its costs plus contribute to its own reserves.
Councillor Holmes.
Just so I'm clear, the fees, the money for that study was pulled out of the budget for 2021, though, right? It's not going forward.
Correct. It's still there for 2020, but it's not.
Oh, so it's in reserves there?
Yeah, that's what will happen. It will be put into reserves if we are not able to get it done. Now it's October, so I don't think it will be. We might get the RFP issued before the end of the year, but the work likely will not be completed, okay. But the money will go to reserves, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
So just on that point, we're not kind of double counting it, if that's what you're thinking. It's only been accounted for once.
Any further questions? Mayor Lowry.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Just a comment and one question. I'm glad to see the construction without a permit fee going up. Hopefully that will help curb some of those construction projects that are happening without permits. I do have a question for Mike, though, about the demolition permit coming down. It was a 2% value of construction, and now it's a 1%. I'm just curious as to how that... Is it just a recalculation so that the cost recovery numbers looked different, or?
Overall, when it comes to demolitions, we've generally seen that the 2% value is bringing the fees in at the minimum fee of 125 in almost all cases when someone applies for a demolition permit. In the case that they're is a larger demolition project. We haven't generally seen that. We're just looking at the amount of work that we're offering for that. If new construction we were charging at 2%, but a demolition, we're really only going to confirm, yes, disconnects have been made, the building has been demolished. It's a fairly straightforward process for us. And reducing it to 1%, I don't think will affect most demolition permits, which will, if anything is calculated less than that minimum fee of 125, it caps out at 125. So generally most fees will be stuck at that rate regardless. So,
thanks, Mike.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Absolutely. Thanks.
Thank you.
Any more? Okay, thank you very much. So we're a little ahead of schedule again. We can take five. Okay. All right, we can carry on then.
Just get ready. The economic development budget is on page 131.
Thanks for coming out this morning, and you can continue when you're ready. Just turn your microphone on.
Okay, great. We'll start there. Economic development, there's very little changes, except for what you'll notice is in capital. Looking at the capital budget for... So I don't know if there's any questions on the regular budget, but there's almost everything is at a 2% or very small increase. But the capital budget,
the what represents the largest increase. Most of those things are annual replacements. If you
before we get into capital, is there any questions on operational?
Is there any questions,
Councilor Dredd?
Thank you. I'm curious. Salary, wages, and benefits, line number one. On average, the actual money being used has been under $100,000, and now we're saying it's going to be over $150,000, but only a 2% increase. Can you tell me why it's only a 2% increase?
I think for this year, you're looking at only until the end of August, so that's why it's only at 76. By the end of the year, it'll be closer to the same amount. So it's only representing a 1.98% increase, which is just a step increase in the regular increase. But prior to 2020 was when the admin assistant was added to the department in 2019. And so before we had an admin assistant, it was only accounted in recreation. When we added, we split them. So one shows up in CEDC and one shows up in recreation. But in over 2020, it really is only a 2% increase. It's just you're only looking at the end of August with the 76,000 right now.
Okay, so is the assistant still at your in your office, or is she actually working here under the CAO?
She's back in our office, in our department. She was just working under the, it was just a temporary thing when they were understaffed over here and due to some COVID things, but she's been back in our office just since the beginning of October. There may be I'm not sure how her salary was divided up during the time that she was over here. You may see a changing of accounts, but she has been here full time the whole year, but she is back full time in recreation.
Thank you.
Did you want to add something, Treasurer Whitmarsh?
No,
we're covered? Okay. Is there any more questions on operational before we move to capital? What page are we on in capital?
2021, or page 21. Bottom section of the page starts at line 129.
Thank you.
The most things here are either will be finished this year or will be carried over in reserves and won't affect this year's budget. But looking at the things that do affect this year's budget, they're either annual replacements such as event tents, trees, and then the two largest additions are $15,000 for Christmas decor, with $5,000 of that being paid for from reserves that we have in the account already for Christmas decor. This is because the Christmas decor is quite expensive, and it does have a life expectancy. Last year when we put it up, we noticed a couple of the strands, the garlands across the street were starting to fade and flicker, and so it does become something that we replace every few years. It's been a few years since we've done any significant upgrades for that. That's why that's in there. But that's not a generous amount, $15,000 for actual industrial Christmas decor. So that's what that is. And then the only thing I would note is beautification, the very top line, the flower baskets, it does show as a 10, and I didn't get a chance to talk to Rhonda before this, but it shows as a $10,000 to this year's budget, but actually approximately $8,000 of that is recouped from the businesses. We do, if we purchase them, aside from this spring, we charge them the full price of the baskets, and that would be our plan going forward. If we were to purchase them in 2021, the only ones we pay for in this budget are the bridge baskets. There are 8 bridge baskets and the 2 large baskets at Almont Old Town Hall, which doing it twice a year, Christmas and spring, is approximately $2,000. It depends on the tender and who gets the tender and the cost of their baskets.
Deputy Mayor Minnelli.
You can let Bev go first if you want.
Oh, sorry.
No, ladies first.
For the baskets, I understand the businesses pay for their basket, but the watering, do we do that watering for them free of charge, or is the businesses charged for some of the watering?
We have not historically charged for the watering. We hire 3 students. We generally apply for student grants, and the students, one of their jobs is to water. It's approximately a third of the jobs because we now have 1% waters, not quite full day. And then the others do the other things, the weeding and the mulching and roundabout and litter and various other things. But historically, no, we have not charged for that cost. But they also water all of the planters that are on the road that are done by the Hort Society, the gardens that are at the Cenotaph and at the Veterans Walk. Like, it's not, their salary isn't all business baskets, but we haven't included a charge. Answer your question.
And also with the Christmas decorations, do the downtown business people contribute towards the cost of those decorations, or do they provide some? Or
there have been fundraisers in the past. If people remember, about 7 or 8 years ago, there was a fundraiser where there was a big movement from the downtown to contribute towards it, and the fundraiser raised, it was a big effort, and it raised about $1,000. Like, it's not, it's never a significant part of the cost, but we haven't. Certainly, I would love to see a movement towards having a BIA structure of some kind where the BIA contributed and we had some kind of a partner in that, but we have not, and historically we don't.
Go ahead, Deputy Mayor Minnelli.
Thank you. I see the business park sign, $20,000. Is that a replacement, or is that a sign for the other entrance, or...?
It's actually just a refurbishment of the existing sign. The plan is to have, if you look at it closely, there may be some repointing work. There's definitely some painting work to do to the wood part, but we're also looking at the addition of a box of backlit signs to add on top of that structure. And in it, we would then be able to charge a fee to have, like, dairy distillery sign or Carebridge community support signs added into the box. That project was actually costed out in last year's budget, so it's just being paid for from reserves. But we have gotten started to work with HP Engineering to get a plant, because you can't just add something to the top. They have to look at the structure and that kind of stuff. So that will probably be tendered before the end of this year, with the work being done in the spring, and with some of it may be done this year. The painting may be done this year, but that is a cost from last year. But to answer your question, it's a refurbishment and addition to the sign that we have.
Thank you.
The Christmas decor, is the majority of that $15,000 replacement or purchase, new purchase?
It's majority replacement. It's not, there's no plan to do any newer, grander things. It would be to replace, and it may not be the full amount. It depends once we get the catalog and do that, but the plan is to replace and to be able to cycle so that they don't, when we do light up the night, it's always, we always get a lot of feedback about how we used to have a lot more decor in the downtown, and I always express the challenges of the fact that it is a downtown area. We are the municipality. We have the whole municipality. So I do work to do, without being Scroogey, the minimum that we can, but to have a good welcoming place at the holiday time without being extravagant with municipal dollars. But it is, the plan is replacement and repair if possible.
Thank you. Councillor Maiden.
I'm just wondering if there's more... going to be more effort put into getting recovering advertising from businesses like downtown and throughout the municipality. I know we tend to put personal business ads sometimes in news and public notices, and I think with our new website we could almost have a separate section for that and charge for it. Nothing too expensive. Councillor Girard had sent me a copy of the Beckwith Beaver, which is a quarterly news letter that goes out. And in the last 2 pages of it, they have advertising at rates pretty close to the Elmont Gazette, I think. But I think that's something we need to look at if we're going to be enhancing our communications. Not really on topic of budget, but cost recovery for sure.
That's definitely something you can look at. We produce our annual visitor guide. Until now, we've produced the visitor guide with Metroland, and so they actually do sell and charge businesses, but then because of that, we don't pay for printing. So we kind of have like a relationship with them for that visitor guide, but we could certainly look at it. We haven't looked at it for the news and public notices, but that's something I can take a look at.
Councillor Jarrett.
Thank you. Line 130, the banners, metal banner fabrication, are those the multicolored ones that are just hanging around? Okay. I have some concerns with that type of advertisement. I get a lot of questions as to why they're all different and why they don't have any relevance to each other compared to the areas that they're placed. Is there something that we could possibly look at those? And because I know I had somebody ask me why in Clayton they're all different colors and a different pattern than elsewhere.
Sure, I can. I don't have them with me, but the actual design, if you look, they all have the same outline, and they all have a mill with three lines, which is to represent a mill in Mississippi Mills. They all have the same shape, and then at the top, in Pakenham, they have a five-span bridge. In Almont, they have a historic building that kind of symbolizes the post office or Old Town Hall. And then in Ramsey, they have a barn type shape to represent a rural community. And it was at the time, these went through beautification. The design came, we worked with Almont Artists Association, which is not just Almont Artists, but to do something that really tied into the municipality as a whole, but gave each unique ward their own identifying feature. So they do all have the Mississippi Mills mill at the bottom, and that was done intentionally. We do have a branding plan in the strategic plan. If we do look at changing our branding or something, we could look at that. The colors, the two primary colors are corporate colors. The blue and green that are in our logo are used in those banners as closely as a powder coater could match. We added red and yellow if you have a look, the red and yellow are the ones that really stand out. So they're just purposely spaced out to really pop. So there were a lot of intentional decisions on that, but with a branding plan coming up, it's certainly something that could be added to be addressed and discussed again if those really, to your point, some communication about the banners could circulate again, telling people the history of the process and what they symbolize, because if someone's asking you, that means not everybody knows that. So,
The question was with regards to why every single one of them is a different color. So that was what I was trying to get across.
Okay, you want to move on?
I think there will be two admin buildings. Yeah.
Sorry, so Tiffany is also going to present the budget for the Almont Old Town Hall, and that can be found on page, just let me find it. Page 60.
Councilor Ferguson.
Yes, thank you. So before we moving on, are we also discussing marketing the mills now or after?
It's just divided.
Okay, so we want to talk about now?
It is part of the same budget.
Yes, I wondered. Okay.
Part of the Old Town Hall budget or part of?
Sorry, CEDC.
Okay.
Okay, I have a question then under. Yeah, sorry. 134 electronic sign, $50,000. I know it's a carryover, but is there any place that we captured the overage of that? Was it $12,000 that was over?
Until we actually finish the bill, that'll be the highest. It's actually looking like it'll be closer to six. And as per the report, that those costs will be paid for out of the operational budget this year, promotional operational budget, which there was a little bit of room in because of some things we didn't do this year. So that cost will be finished. And that The plan is still to have that finished this year. We've now awarded the tender, and it is there to do almost everything and then install. So you'll probably see that disappear before the final budget in January.
And then the 142, the benches on the OVRT. How many more, and how many have we already received as a result of donations? So as these are additional ones, I assume.
Yeah, when we did our long-term financial planning earlier, I captured that because we didn't have any kind of plan for that, and that is something that isn't necessarily being taken care of at a county level. Through this spring and summer, we've seen some bench donations through the Alameda Project, which is separate from us and has been handled through the county. But I still felt it was important to have some funding in there for benches and for other areas along the OVRT, possibly in Pakenham, where it lines up with Waba Road. There's a parking area. There may be there might be need to put some benches or something, but it was something that wasn't captured in our budget anywhere else and isn't being handled at a county level. So one bench is approximately $2,000. So this isn't a huge number. It would be one or two benches and possibly something else if we had to do bike racks, parking, or something to do with that. There'd be a spot for that in the budget.
Good. Thank you.
Councillor Holmes.
Thank you. I think if you're looking for benches at other areas other than Almont, I'd like you to consider Blakeney, please, along the OVRT.
Yeah. There is some money in beautification. Oh, Blakeney along the OVRT. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we can have a look at that.
I'll just add a little bit onto that too. Is there any chance looking into donations for benches along there?
Yeah, the bench and tree and bike rack policy does go through Calvin, but I've heard a lot of interest lately from different people calling him and contacting him about trees and benches and stuff. And I know that he's steering them away from the places like where they've, like Metcalf Park has been a really popular area, and he is suggesting other areas. So having these locations on, like we'll talk, and at least then when people call, they can be at the top of the list of suggestions for them to check out for sure, definitely. Like we're definitely gonna get more that way than with a little bit in the budget. I just didn't want it not captured in our long-term planning to put a little bit towards that because that will fall to a municipal, my understanding is that's coming to the municipal level.
Thank you. So is there any more on 133 to 142 on page 21? And if not, we'll move on to...
It's in admin buildings, page 60. Just the Almont Old Town Hall portion is not.
Page 60?
So right away, you'll notice the largest jump is in labor, and which is a $25,000 addition, and in cleaning, maintenance, and other supplies, which is nearly a $3,000 addition in a very small budget. Those are both COVID-related additions. It's unclear at this time if we'll actually need $25,000 additional labor, but in case you're not aware, Old Town Hall's actually operates at pretty skeletal labor. We have a casual part-time person who does some cleaning and does opening and closing for our functions. And with COVID, we have had to schedule a lot more times that he's in to clean. However, as things progress with the pandemic, if we're not having as additional bookings, we won't be using that much money. It will ebb and flow with the revenues, depending on how open we become and how much additional cleaning and opening and closing and supervising will be required. But that's why I wanted that captured there. At this time, it's not that much more than he normally does. We're making it work because we have very few bookings in the public spaces. But like I said, we have a flexible $75 cleaning charge that we have been charging now when there's additional cleaning required because of COVID. We did that with the concerts this past weekend, although some of them canceled. We charged an additional $75 each day. So I do feel the revenues will come close to matching that, but I wanted to capture it because we've usually only had $9,000 for true Almont Old Town Hall labor.
Councilor Maiden.
Is some of the, we have a couple of offices renting the Old Town Hall. Do they pay part of the cost of, through their rent, the maintenance?
Yeah, their rent is accounted in our revenues for the facility, so then that would be counted towards those kind of costs. There hasn't been any additional cleaning required or anything due to these bookings, because these rentals. One of them, Risk Logic, is basically they're still working from home, so they're barely there. And we share a washroom. But yes, to answer your question, yes, their rent does go into the revenue, which then is used to pay the bills.
Thank you.
So the $34,000, the majority of that cleaning is it the entire building or the majority, like the upstairs hall, that you get a $75 per towards that cleaning recovery?
It's in there to, it would be the washrooms as well, so it wouldn't just be the hall, but the front washrooms right now, when we don't have bookings, we don't open them, we don't clean them. We've kept our elevator off so that we're keeping people to our level. And we have some additional cleaning costs there, but it's pretty minimal because we've been fortunate to still be able to use a student who hasn't gone away to school yet, who's willing to work an hour at a time. And we also do our own spot cleaning. So for now, the increase is specifically because if we end up having a very open for business building again, we will be required to have a much more regular presence for cleaning than we we operate very low that way now. We clean, but it's done around bookings and minimal.
Treasurer Whitmarsh.
The additional cleaning costs for this facility, along with the added, the labor and the added cleaning needs for this facility are addressed in the carry forward of COVID funding that I have. So actually, although this looks like a significant increase, it is covered by that grant, so it's not affecting the taxation needs.
Thank you.
If there's any other questions in operating, I could answer those now, and otherwise, I could talk about the changes in capital.
Councilor Gerard.
Yes, actually, thank you. Line 16, utilities. I'm just thinking if the elevators are turned off and the majority of the people are being kept at the first floor, is that not going to actually keep us closer to actuals from 2019 and 2018?
Sorry, again, it's one of those costs that I will be reviewing. I have it identified in my budget document.
Okay, thank you.
Doesn't look like any more questions. You want to go back to capital and just let us know what page you're on?
So capital for this building is on page 18, and it starts at line 8.
Sorry, page 18, starting at line 8. Many of these things are carry forward. At this point, they may finish before the end of the year, but some will carry over. But for the new things at the bottom, you'll see is the mechanical electrical work for $10,000, a fire panel for $20,000, exterior concrete front entrance and repointing, auditorium curtains, fire retardant treatment. Two of those items, fire panel and fire retardant treatment, came from the fire chief and their compliance issues. My understanding from the fire chief is that if those aren't done, we'll be issued an order, so that we have to do them because our building is open to the public. The fire panel specifically is no longer a supported version, and so we can't have it certified, and we need to replace the panel. And regardless of functions in the auditorium, we have tenants and our offices are there, so that has to be done. The curtain retardant, I have gone ahead and gotten some prices this year. We were looking at, we have to get those curtains cleaned anyway. And so the curtain retardant is also a fire compliance issue. The mechanical work is stuff that was identified through our facilities coordinator, and it involves pump repairs and humidifier issues. So they're like building function stuff that's been raised as important. And the concrete work is the whole, if you're at Old Town Hall and you have a look up close, I could have brought some photos, and if you want to see photos, I can send them to you, or you could stop by. There's a retaining wall that's been crumbling for a long time. Parging was done a few years ago, but it's pretty significant. And then the whole front is a loading bay. All of that concrete is deteriorating past its life expectancy. Whenever the downtown is redone, originally we did look at it including this area, but it is no longer part of the downtown to do this area. And it's the whole, if you look at the front steps, the whole front area is all cement, and it's deteriorating. But the retaining wall in particular needs to be removed or rebuilt. I'm not even sure, but that was a price on that stuff. And the parging, the repointing does need to be done. That's in the brickwork, and that needs to be done very soon. The concrete work needs to be done now, but the more important would be the $15,000 repointing work.
Any questions? Councilor Ferguson?
Yes, the fire panel that you referred to, is that the original fire panel that's there? And if that's the case, I guess we've been living in violation for a while.
It was only brought to my attention this year, and I'm not an expert on fire panels, but we do have regular inspections, I think it's no longer, like, it probably it's outlived its life expectancy, and it's no longer supported, so.
Yeah, good, thank you.
Any more questions? Okay.
I also, if you have any questions about events in the recreation budget, those start on page 107, line 137. So those, I generally set those budgets and run those. So if you have questions about those, I could answer those now. The only, at quick glance, the largest increase or the only significant increase is the light up the night increase. The reason, there's two reasons for that. One is this will be the 30th anniversary of Light Up the Night, and we've typically done a little bit of a larger show, a little more fireworks, a longer show, or something new on the anniversaries. But in addition, if the Mississippi River Power office is no longer available, we would try to secure it through sponsorship, but we do use, if people aren't aware, we use that as backstage. It's where our talent is housed, and we would need to incorporate some cost to having some trailers brought in. Of course, our first avenue would be to get a sponsored trailer from someone, but we needed to plan in advance that we would definitely need on cold, any time you have to. They work for a pretty scale fee, the entertainers, for this, and we do need somewhere to treat them, keep them warm.
Deputy Mayor Minnelli.
So if Light Up the Night doesn't happen this year. Is this going, the money go back into general funds or into general funds?
Right. Each year I do a balancing or reconciliation of Light Up the Night. So I look at the revenues versus the expenses and transfer to reserves if there is any sort of surplus in for that event. And so, yes, that's what would happen. So the monies would go into reserves to be used in another year.
Thank you.
Councillor Girard.
Thank you. My question is with regards to the advertising. So in the past, it's been relatively $1,000 or less for both Canada Day and Light Up the Night. Now we're basically doubling the amounts. Are we not going to be using our computer program? Like what's your advertising that's going to cost that much more extra?
I think it's a case of sometimes the advertising gets coded into the general materials and supplies, and I took a closer look at it and so put it in the advertising, but we always advertise Canada Day and Light Up the Night and the parades in both publications. Unfortunately, with the Metroland division the way it is, half of our residents get their paper, and they get the Armpire Renfrew paper, and the other is the Almont Carlton place. So our advertising fees doubled a couple of years ago. So that's where that is. But I don't have plans to do any additional fancy advertising. I think it was more when I took a look at it, I had coded some things into the materials and supplies. It still goes to the overall budget for the event. Which is there. I should mention, Light Up the Night does a lot of fundraising as well through $25, $50 donations from businesses, and that does go, this is only showing our contribution, that does go to the overall event, and there's always a significant effort towards merchandise sales and getting sponsors, and there has been good support from the community on that. And so those, to Rhonda's point, those dollars go in and get put into reserves. We put in a certain amount each year. There will be no fundraising this year other than merchandise sales because we're not having the event and we didn't feel appropriate to talk to businesses at a difficult time like this to pay towards something, especially because it's postponed.
Okay. Any further questions? Okay. Did you want to go somewhere else on this, or?
Yeah, the two reports that were on this week's agenda. The first is the Ramsey Recreation Facilities reports, which starts on page 192. In 2020, we addressed requests from the recreation facilities in Ramsey to have a more sustainable funding. We've always provided them with some annual funding through our grant process. However, that required them always to apply, and it left them in a little more vulnerable position when they were applying for other grants or they were making longer-term decisions on their organizations. Last year, in recognition of the work that they've done, we did move to a funding that was in that wasn't a grant-related funding, but we did request that in order to look at that funding past the first year that they initiate a business planning exercise. And we requested that they give us those business plans. The business plans are attached to the report. Our goal wasn't to critique or manage their business plans. It was to have them do them and do some long-term planning and to identify their vision and their operations. They did a very good job, both organizations, of their business plans, and you can tell that they do have been making some efforts towards longer-term vision, and this funding is just to help them. It's a reasonable amount in both cases based on their operating, but also based on their season, how long they're open. Clayton is open all year, and Union Hall is open a shorter season, and their operating and the kind of work that they need to undertake capital-wise. The pot of money is for them to put into their overall budget. They might choose to use it towards their capital, but it would just be to increase their overall budget, along with the activities that they've planned in the business plans that they have done.
Deputy Mayor Minnelli.
Just on the Clayton Hall, I think it's that and Union Hall is the two cheapest recreation facilities or and halls we'll ever have. So the little bit of funding that they get, I don't have a problem with.
Councillor Ferguson.
Yes, I just echo that. I think they've done an excellent job of it. I think they've done, as Tiffany has stated, a great job of their plans. And if the Clayton Hall was in the stock exchange, I think I'd be buying into it because it's 19.72% profit. So I think they've done very well with it.
So I understand we have an option here. We can look at this motion now, or we could get the big picture of the entire budget and come back to it later. Is there any preferences? Can I suggest then we get more into our budget and then come back to this at another time then? Yeah. Is everybody agreeable to that? Okay. Mayor Lowry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to say, I know, Tiffany, you put a lot of work into kind of guiding the two halls in preparing these documents for us. And I know some of that kind of went sideways because of COVID, but I think it's really, there's lots of resources out there for the halls to use. And when we come back to a more, you know, normal time, whenever that might be, or if there is a way to take advantage of some of those resources that you were pooling for them, I would hope that we would encourage not just these two halls, but we have so many great organizations that really it's the volunteers that make so much of what's important and what's appreciated in Mississippi Mills happen. So, and I'm not sure if all of council's aware of some of those pieces. Like I know you talked to Cindy James, for example, and there were different people available to help them out. And I think that was one of the pieces I was really happy in coming out of this. I think the sustainability funding is important. But I think giving them resources so that they know who to reach out to, and they are a business of one sort, and there are certainly resources, and I appreciate that you were connecting them to that. And just for any member of council who wasn't aware, there was a lot of sort of background work that Tiffany did to support them. So thank you for doing that.
Yeah, certainly two part to this project with the Ramsey Halls was not formalized, but just keeping them a little closer on our radar and being aware of opportunities to send them information or help them through something. I think our communication is good. There was a situation with a basketball net that the mayor got involved in. We were able to give them get them in touch with Men's Shed, who did some of the work, and it ended up being a really nice good news story for the hall, something that had been an issue for them for some time, and it lined with Nace's birthday, and that was great. We also had a recent issue that came to our attention about some signage on fences in the ball field that had just never been communicated to the right people. Calvin and Dan Prest dealt with them on that, and there's been a number of grants throughout the year that I've sent their way if I had a look at it and felt it would fit. I mean, it was stuff we did informally before, but I would just say that we've made an effort to make the relationship stronger that way if something occurs to us that would work for them. And then in creation of their business plans, we put them in touch with the Small Business Center and also sent them some resources on business planning because it wasn't something they had formally done before. But I did encourage them that a lot of this is what you do and what your vision is already. It's just doing the exercise together. And they really are wonderful organizations that really do create programming and venues in our community. So we would continue to cater to those relationships aside from the sustainable funding. But this does help them be grant be able to apply for those grants that get sent their way if they have some money. We also sent them some potential grant writers, Clayton Hall, some ideas for some people who might, it would cost them minimal, but they could hire someone who was good at applying for grants, that kind of stuff.
Any further questions on this? Okay, no.
The next report starts on page 228, and it's about the museum funding. This report stemmed from the motion from council. The original motion was when the...
Just give us a second there to catch up to you.
Sorry?
Can you just give us a second to catch up to...
Yeah, sure.
228?
228.
Okay.
I didn't bring the motion with me, but there was a motion from council to review the funding because there was a request from North Lanark Historic Society for $13,000, and then about 3 weeks later, there was a request for $47,000 annually. And so this report starts at 228 and goes to page 275, and it includes up-to-date numbers from all three museums on their visitors, their operating, their other grants, and their other activities. It also includes a breakdown of their funding, what percentage comes from us and what comes from others. And it includes on page 241 a comparison of Smith Falls, Perth, Carlton Place, Armpire, and Merrickville museums. And then the first page of the report, 228, is my recommendations. At this point, for North Lanark Regional Museum, I'm recommending that we offer them a loan for their roof replacement. We did hear from the board president, Mr. Wilson, yesterday that they did not know or want a loan. The reason I recommended a loan was simply as an opportunity for council to help if they truly are in need right now and don't have a way to pay that bill. If they don't need the loan, they certainly would be able to not accept the loan, but I do not recommend paying the bill for a variety of reasons that I went over in our report. And I do want to add that that would be an addition to this budget at this time. You would need to add that somewhere if you do decide to go through with that. We'll just, the treasurer will need to add it somewhere in the budget.
Councilor Gerard.
Thank you. If that's something that we could discuss, if I remember correctly, a few years back, the Textile Museum actually received a three-year interest-free loan for $40,000. So is this something that we could possibly give them the option to have an interest-free loan?
Yes, that's exactly what my recommendation is, and that we offer them an interest-free loan, and then that they could have 3 years to pay it back. If they were unable to pay it back, it could come out of their annual allotment, but my intention really was that it would give them time to stretch out their fundraising. They could hold some roof-raising fundraisers. I mean, that would be up to their organization, but by giving them an interest-free loan, it would take a little pressure off any other kind of funding so that they could do that, and that is my recommendation. In discussion with the treasurer.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions on this item? Councilor Ferguson.
Yes, the $47,000. If I recall back when the original museum's report was put together, one of the recommendations was specifically to one curator to address all of the issues with our museums.
Yep.
I think that's obviously gone by the boards. I don't know how much cooperation there is now between curators and the museums, and I don't know whether it's a full-time job for both or full-time positions. I'm not going to question that, but I would just like to have a better appreciation for that as to how much time there is spent with curators and how much, I guess, liaison and different scheduling with the three museums that we do have.
I do want to address that. I want to first say that I do feel strongly that the role of all of our museums is very important. Aside from being a tourist attraction, it's not only about that. It's about the curation and the protection and the preservation and the sharing of the stories of our people, of our municipality. And the North Lanark Regional Museum specifically is a rural museum, and they do a lot of archival work with things that are gifted to them, and they maintain the history of the region. And I commend their work in that regard, and I do believe that they are important. I would not want to see a way forward that meant that they didn't exist in some form. I do believe that we should continue to support them. We currently give them around $26,000 a year, which I feel to be an appropriate amount considering their overall operating budget and the visitors that they actually have. After the letters, at this point I had only made that recommendation for this year until these letters came in. Once they came in, I purposely went ahead and did a closer look and asked them for their numbers for 2019. Not looking at 2020 because that's an unusual year, but for 2019, the numbers for North Lanark Regional Museum for actually in-the-door visitors is 255 people for 12 months of the year. And I really feel that it's time that they take a closer look at maybe being open May to October when they can focus their efforts on that. That doesn't mean that there wouldn't be work off season, because there is work to be done in maintaining and planning and applying for grants outside of that season. However, I do think that it's time that they look at maybe a more efficient way to operate in partnership with the other museums in the municipality. That doesn't mean that one of the recommendations was out of the last report, which has been included for you to review, was a shared curator. But it also could be shared staffing in another way. The regional museum, the museums in Smith Falls, which interestingly is the only municipality around us that has more than one museum, they do share staffing costs. The railway museum has 10,000 visitors a year, and yet they only get 20,000 from the municipality, which they use to pay the curator from the Heritage Museum to help manage them and hire summer students and apply for grants and things. So there are models where that could happen. The curator at the North Lanark Regional Museum is very qualified, is doing an excellent job of that position, but I don't think the municipality should be responsible for ensuring a full-time salary when the visitorship is so low and the overall cost for the museum is so low. If the museum, maybe there's an opportunity for them to pay her 6 months of the year and for the other museums to use her services on the other seasons. I don't know, and it's really not up to us to make those decisions. It's up to their organization. My recommendations are that they take a closer look at the recommendations from 5 years ago, and that they also maybe compare models in other municipalities that might have more than one museum, because they are struggling with sustainability. 5 years ago, we looked at our funding. They used to get $5,000 a year. Since that time, they now have had a significant increase, but their operating budget has gone down, and their visitors have gone down. And they work very hard. They are a hardworking board. The president and the museum manager are dedicated people whose hearts are in the right places. They have other long-term board members who also volunteer way more than they would to anything else. So I think that they need to start looking at things a little differently, and that this clear call for help because they need the funding might be the reason for them to take a closer look at that.
Deputy Mayor Minnelli.
Thank you, Tiffany. And I had a discussion about the numbers at the museum in Appleton. And, I know heritage and knowing where you come from and all that stuff's really important, but so are the numbers. And hopefully we can help them out some other way to get them a little boost on fundraising or some kind of different interaction with maybe even getting partnership up with something with the town when they have an event or something to raise a little bit of money. But I think it's up to them. I don't think it's up to us. Thank you.
I do also just want to add on page 230. Actually, it's on page 232. There's also in-kind support that we offer to the museums that sometimes isn't captured. And sometimes these things have happened for so long that there's no recognition of the fact that that does support an organization that we want to support. And we cut the grass at the North Lanark Regional Museum at no cost to them. We arrange for the snow removal for their parking spots 12 months, like obviously we don't remove snow, but so that they can be open 12 months of the year. They also receive free garbage collection. Those are three things that they get that none of the other museums get. I do think we should continue to support this museum. I'm not recommending we reduce the annual grant that we've already had in the budget for this year. I think $26,000 is a reasonable amount, and I'm not recommending that be changed. I'm not recommending the request that came in from them at this time. That would be a council decision, but I did take considerable time to review things before making recommendations that are in this report.
Mayor Lowry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a comment. I think we do need to remember that these museums are independent to the municipality, and it's the boards of those museums that are the ones that'll make the decisions for them moving forward. However, we obviously are the decision makers in terms of any funding that we provide to them. We were a partner in the Sagem report. And so I think this is an unusual year. There's also the uncertainty of the museum at the Mill of Kintail as well. So there'll be some changes there too. So there may be an opportunity for us to encourage the boards to take a look at, there's a couple recommendations in the Sagem report. I think it is an opportunity for us to encourage them to look at that. And then when we know a little bit more about what the future will look like of the Mill of Kintail, that may be the place where we make our decisions in terms of perhaps a slightly different funding model or a tweaked funding model from what we've had in place the last couple years out of the Sagem report. But I mean, I think it's important. It's important work what all three of the museums do, or all four of the museums do. I think Deputy Mayor Minnelli is correct. Like, we have to ensure that the money we're investing into the community is to everyone's best advantage, and not only preserves the history of our community, but you know, does it in a way that's sustainable, and does it in a way that ensures that the work that the folks are putting in is for its best advantage as well. Because I think you're absolutely right, Tiffany. There's an enormous amount of effort that's being put in, particularly at the Appleton Museum. So I think we might be moving into a time where there's some changes here. And I appreciate all the information you've provided to council, because there's certainly a lot of history on this.
Any response, or we got another question? Councillor Dredd.
Thank you. I'd just like to point out that the North Lanark Museum is actually representing the people of our heritage. The Mississippi Valley Textile Museum is actually becoming a business, so they're advertising, they're bringing in exhibits from all over the place. I'm going to say across the world, but definitely across Canada. So therefore, the money's, it's not real apples to apples. The Heritage Museum is history. The Textile Museum is a business. So I think we have to keep that in mind when we're looking at this as well.
Councillor Maiden.
Yes, just to build on what Councillor Girard said, the other three museums are really kind of niche interest museums. There's basketball, there's the architecture and the medical training, that sort of thing, a rehabilitation of Tate McKenzie, and the textile museum, which is really integral to Elmont's history in particular. The North Lanark Museum is kind of a repository of our municipal history, and so that way is important. And you know, traveling across the country, you see a lot of these little ones that are always kind of fun to go to. This one has a few things working against it. the location is not well known or marked. It would probably do better if it was located, for example, at the middle of Kintale, where to kind of capitalize on all, because it's just a little building, really. And so I kind of support it, and I think we need to maintain it. Money-wise, it's kind of, you know, not doing too well, but part of that, it's hard to kind of get in revenue when you're in a very out-of-the-way location. It's not really marked well. And I didn't know until someone really directed me as to how to get there. Now, they have other events where they will rent the Union Hall, the Civitan Hall, or other things for kind of historical speaking engagements or that sort of thing, because it, the museum itself is not big enough to accommodate that. So, anyway, I just wanted to put in some support for something that is of more general interest than the other three, I think.
Like, respond to that?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually had already written down events because I wanted to mention, just in recognition of the effort they put in, they do host a number of rural events throughout the year that add to their programming and add to their value in that they create things happening. They do it as fundraisers, and they're admittedly small fundraisers, but they do a Robbie Burns dinner, and they do strawberry socials, and they do tea on the lawns, and they run affordable summer camps, which is something that we need in this community. So I just want to reiterate, their value is not under question, in my opinion, at all. It's only that maybe this is the time for them to look at a more efficient way of operating in order to secure their future. Not in any avenue towards not securing their future. I absolutely would be top of the list of people saying the importance of this museum is indisputable and that it's time to take a look at being, they're still struggling after a significant boost and a change in structure after a few years. They also did a Trillium, they had a 2-year Trillium fund towards sustainability for the museum. They work hard at it, and it's an important museum, but maybe it's time to look at what some other museums do to figure out how they can operate at a lower cost so that their return can be greater, and maybe to give themselves some more time and to put a little less stress on them. But it would be in order to ensure that they exist into the future. Certainly, I have no agenda towards not having them around, and I would be the first in line to say that they're important.
Councillor Maiden.
Thanks, Tiffany. I mean, all that being said, at the same time, don't ask for money after you've already spent it. You know, that was something that bothered me. If you knew it was coming, you knew the, you know, now that it's already been done, it's sort of like, well, you either fund it or not. So I guess that's a choice for us. But it would have been better if we'd had that letter last year before the work was done.
Any more questions on this? So there's a recommendation on page 228, and unless I hear otherwise, I'd suggest we come back to this later as well. Okay. So anything else, Tiffany? Or that's it? Okay. If it's okay with everybody, how about we have a 10-minute recess and reconvene at 10:50? All right. Thank you, Tiffany, by the way.